We're back with more of Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. We're into February now in Wisconsin, and if people aren't actually away on beaches in the Caribbean, they're dreaming of the beaches in the Caribbean. It's gray, dark, cold, and, well, let's face it, we just need something to escape to.
Well, Mike Viking of the Happiness Research Institute in Copenhagen has written two books that Wisconsinites might turn to in order to make the best of the Wisconsin winter. One explains the Danish concept of hygge. It's a word that encapsulates the coziness, warmth, and togetherness that Danes seek year-round, but especially in the autumn. In winter. The second is The Little Book of Lucca, which explores why Danes consistently rank among the happiest in the world.
Viking begins by talking to Lake Effect's Mayan Silver about the essence of the concept.
So the main ingredients, I would say, is relaxation, togetherness, equality, savoring simple pleasures, and the right lighting. I think that the shorthand for explaining hygge is the art of creating a nice atmosphere. To us, it's a noun, it's an adjective, it's a verb, but it's something that covers all those ingredients.
So one of the statistics in the book, because you have a whole book on hygge, and one of the statistics that struck me was how important hygge is for Danes. You wrote that. If you look at Danish, a search for a beautiful restaurant in Danish, you get 7,000 Google hits. Quality restaurant is 9,600 hits. Cheap restaurant is 30,600 hits. But actually, you're going to have to pronounce it hygge-lik.
Yes. That's the adjective, yeah.
Yeah, if you're Googling a hygge-lik restaurant, which means like a hygge-like restaurant, you'll get 88,900 hits. Can you explain how the Danes are obsessed with this coziness factor, and is this still the case?
So I think you could say it like hygge is to the Danes what freedom is to Americans, something we see as inherently Danish and part of our culture, part of our everyday conversations. And it's just something that comes up a lot and something that we give a lot of value to. So if you invite people over for dinner, let's say I invite you over for Saturday evening, and during the week we'll talk about how hyggely Saturday is going to be. Then on Saturday we'll talk about how hyggely it is, and then after you leave, my girlfriend would ask, do you think they had a hyggely time? And on Monday we'll talk about how hyggely Saturday was. So I think that's how important hygge is to Danes.
Well, and so what are some of these things that create that atmosphere? Like, what would be in a 2018 hygge emergency kit?
I mean, because atmosphere is what it's all about, then there would be probably candles. Because Danes are obsessed with lighting in general and candles in particular, because the lighting in a room really sort of sets the atmosphere. And Danes, I think the rule of thumb here is we enjoy, or sort of the lower the temperature, the more hyggelig the lighting in a room. So instead of having like a fluorescent light in the ceiling, we would have like smaller lamps around the living room, which creates sort of little pools of light and also makes people look nicer. We have a sort of phrase or sort of a concept that is called looking grotto fabulous, because if you have like a lower lighting in a room, people also looks nicer. So I think that the lighting is important, and that's why in your hygge emergency kit 2018 you would probably find candles, because they give off a light that is softer, warmer, and sort of lower in temperature, and that's also why Danes, when you look at the consumption of candles in Europe, we burn twice as much as number two because of the hygge culture. We actually at the Happiness Research Institute, we have candles at the office.
And what are some of the other things, like what is the hygge attitude towards food, for instance?
It's basically gimme, gimme, gimme. So I think... everything just becomes better with cake, coffee, candy. I mean, hygge is basically also an excuse to sort of savor simple pleasures in life. It's comfort food, it's long, slowly cooked stews, it's cake, it's everything that is basically forbidden in our modern society, but giving ourselves a break from all the regimes of healthy, clean eating and just, you know, being human for once.
So do all these things sort of come naturally for Danes and they look at people like Americans, for instance, like, why is this not intuitive to you?
So it's been interesting to see how hygge has been embraced now in the past year or so, because it's a Danish phenomenon. It's a key part of our culture and tradition and part of our everyday conversations. And then suddenly I and a few other people write books, and then it becomes a global phenomenon. I think my book is now translated to, I think, 35 languages. And then you hear different sort of stories from readers from around the world. One typical one is that people write me and say, I've been having hygge all my life. I just didn't know there was a word for it. And I think that's really interesting that what we have done is essentially just labeled an activity and something that people were already doing and enjoying, but just gave it a name. But also that's the other aspect. You get a sense of the culture from different journalists by the questions they ask. So a lot of your colleagues in the US will call me and say, you know, what if I only have 15 minutes to hygge? How do I hygge in a fast way? And perhaps they're sort of missing the point, because hygge, you can't rush that. It is about a slow pace. It is about being present. It is about turning the speed volume down a little bit. So that, I think that's interesting to see how it's interpreted in different cultures that way.
So I was wondering, can one experience hygge on their own, and how does the sharing with people factor into this?
Yeah, so it was actually one of the most heated discussions I had with my team when we were researching and writing the book, whether you could hygge by yourself. The majority of us believe that, yes, you can, for sure. But there was one guy who thought that hygge is absolutely about being with other people. And to some extent, he's right. I mean, it is about togetherness, but you can also hygge by yourself. You know, enjoying a good book while drinking some hot chocolate by your window if there's a storm outside would be really hygge-ly by yourself. But I think it's also, I mean, I think it reminds me of, this was actually an American student who was in a class I taught when I was doing the book. And I brought hygge up and we talked about it in class. And she said that to her, hygge was a wonderful thing because she is an introvert. And that is also another label that hygge has received, namely socializing for introverts. So because it's a smaller group, because it's about sort of equality and it's not about sort of grabbing the spotlight or sort of a high-powered social networking event, but it would be more like, you know, board games or watching a movie together or just having a sort of everyday pleasant conversation. Then it was a social activity that she enjoyed more than she was used to in other settings.
I get that. I'm kind of an extrovert, but I'm getting more introverted as I get older. How does everyday happiness that hygge can bring factor into your overall happiness?
Part of my work is to understand why are some people happier than others? Why does Denmark often do well in the happiness rankings? And that's also why we started to look at hygge in the first place, because, of course, the sort of Nordic model for countries is of importance. There's a high level of welfare, there's a high level of social security, there is free university education, there's free universal healthcare, and that impacts quality of life tremendously for people. That's why all the Nordic countries are always doing well in in the happiness rankings. Basically, it's, you know, everybody in Denmark would vote for Bernie Sanders. I mean, to us, Bernie Sanders, he's not progressive. He's just common sense. So that explains why a lot of the Nordic countries are doing well in the happiness rankings. But we needed to understand, why is it that Denmark often just do a little bit better than the other Nordic countries? And that's why we started to look at elements in our culture. And that's where hygge came in. And hygge is about sort of pursuing happiness or moments of joy on a daily basis. And what we can see in the happiness data is that, no big surprise, if you have an everyday with a lot of positive experiences or positive emotions, that over time also accumulates to higher levels of satisfaction with life, which is typically what is being measured and captured in these happiness rankings.
And, well, besides hygge, Danes seem to get a lot of satisfaction out of biking. Can you tell me what role that plays?
But when we look at the numbers for Copenhagen, the majority of people are commuting to work on bicycles. So students ride the bike to universities. I ride my bike to the Happiness Research Institute. People ride their bike to their offices. And even the majority of our members of parliament ride the bike to what is our parliament. And we do that not because it's good for the environment or because it keeps us fit, which are great, but we do it because it's fast, it's convenient, and it's easy. But it also means that suddenly my mobility is not dependent on how much money I make. And even if I lost my job tomorrow and my savings, I can still get around the same way tomorrow as I do today, because there's been a lot of investment in infrastructure for pedestrians and for cyclists in Copenhagen. And I think that's a little example of how investment in the common good reduces worries, reduces stress, reduces competition and anxiety for its citizens.
Do Danes cycle in the winter too, like all year round?
Yeah, so 70% of Danes continue to cycle throughout winter. But it's also because, I mean, for the city of Copenhagen, it's a priority to cater for the cyclists. So if we have snow, the city will make sure that the cycling paths are cleared for the snow before the car paths or car lanes are. So, I mean, yes, I cycle throughout the year, as do the majority of people in Copenhagen.
Is it getting below freezing where you guys are?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So
okay.
The coming week, we'll have a couple of degrees Celsius minus zero. So yeah.
So you guys do need to warm up with some hygge after that.
Yes.
And one of your other points is that since hygge is about indulgence and enjoying things like cakes and candy, that this using biking as transportation can help counteract that, right?
Exactly. So when we look at the numbers of the share of different citizens in Europe who exercise more than 5 hours per week, Danes are at the top of the list. And it's not because we enjoy going to the gym, but it's because exercise is built into our daily transportation. And that is also something that allows us to have a second slice of cake once in a while.
Mike Viking, thank you so much for coming on Lake Effect, and I wish you a hyggeligt evening.
Thank you, and well done using the active tip. Well done. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mike Viking leads the Happiness Research Institute in Denmark, and he's the author of 2 books, the latest of which is called The Little Book of Hygge. He spoke with Lake Effect's Mayon Silver.
Mayon and Lake Effect intern Claudia Delgadillo spent some time along Wisconsin Avenue trying to learn how Milwaukeeans hygge. They asked people about the things and activities that help them get through a long Wisconsin winter.
Pretty much just hand warmers and boots and gloves, the common stuff they need for winter weather.
Long johns, coffee, hot cocoa, jumping around. Stay warm.
A lot of times I'll go home and I'll actually take a hot shower to just try to get the chill out. I think that always seems to do the trick.
Play with my grandkids.
Watch The Price is Right.
Let's make a deal in Wheel of Fortune.
I even DVR it. I don't miss it.
Oh, yeah, I don't miss it. I DVR it.
Drink. Have a couple drinks. Stay home and read a book.
Gotcha, okay.
The fireplace. A wood-burning fireplace is the best, or an outdoor wood-burning fireplace that blows the heat in, that can't beat it. The smell of the wood plus the heat, there's nothing better.
Nice. And what about food, you guys? What kind of food gets you through this kind of winter?
Deer. Venison from hunting. Depending on how you get your deer cut up, a deer should be able to last through the winter.
You make stew for that?
Oh, yeah.
Chili.
Yep.
Chili.
Chili's a good one,
yep.
Too, yes.
Beef stew is always a good one. Lots of chicken noodle soup. Lots of it.
You were going to tell Danish people, like, how to stay cozy in Milwaukee, like, what would you say?
Don't come. Go somewhere warm. That would be my advice.
They're called countdown days.
Yeah, countdown days. Put a calendar and you mark down when June's coming and you're like, okay, I'm gonna go.
I like spring.
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside.
The voices were Sharon and Debbie from Oak Creek, Barb and Melissa from Racine, Jackie from Whitewater, Diane from Cudahy, Heidi from Tosa, and Tim from Mount Horeb, Terry from Newburgh, and Travis from Milwaukee.
We'll take one last break, and then our storytelling series Ex Fabula comes your way. This is Lake Effect Weekend on WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this?
No cabs to be had out there. Your eyes are like starlight now. I'll take your hat, your hair.